Accession number 30271, reel number 8.
Leading Air Craftsman Walker, reel 8. You were saying that Skitton was a satellite airfield.
Oh, yes. Further north, and about 5 miles away, and it was, again, another dreadful place, because you were still in the boggy area of Caithness, and our billets were right alongside of the foghorn. And this foghorn used to go on for days and days because the weather conditions were so poor. And invariably, we did very little flying from there, and we couldn't get any sleep either. So it again, was another place which I didn't like at all. And but fortunately, we didn't stay there very long. I think they'd decided that our squadron could do something better by going to Gibraltar, and so they arranged for the us to move back to Wick, and most of the gear was taken by road, of course. It was just the one road, and then we were flown with Harrows and Bombays again to Chibnall. It wasn't Chibnall.
This was Herne, I think.
Herne, near Bournemouth. Yes, and but we didn't go with the equipment. The equipment went somewhere else, so I don't know.
When you set off...
Not all of it, anyway. I know finished up on some equipment, but not the full loads.
When you set off from Wick, did you know that you were going to go to Gibraltar?
No idea where we were going. Just simply told we were leaving, and the routine of clearance and everything like that, loading up. No warning.
But you weren't at Herne for very long, were you?
No, 3 days.
3 days.
And the reason why we didn't get away straight off was because each night there was ice on the main planes. And they got people out to sweep the main planes, but the pilots wouldn't go because it was forming as much as it was being swept off.
Had you suffered from icing when you were up in Wick and at Skitton?
No, it was mainly wet and windy.
Seems rather odd that Scotland was warmer than the south coast of England.
It would look that way, yes. We got no snow as I can recall.
And you were saying that you flew in a DC-3.
That's right.
What was as an aircraft to fly in?
Well, I spent a lot of time later on with DC-3s. All metal aircraft, twin engine, and they were basically transport aircraft. There was no seats in them. And we did finish up with a lot of gear put into the aircraft. I forget how many aircraft we employed, but there were several of them. And we were dressed in our overcoats and tunics and everything like that because it was so bitterly cold, and we didn't take off until after dark. And but by the time we'd flown 10 hours, then... it was blistering hot inside the aircraft because the all-metal aircraft was not flying very high, and the rising sun was really causing it to get warm inside. So we started shedding our clothes as we were going along, and I was down to my tunic, and and when I got out of the aircraft, I was absolutely sweating and having to carry kit bag to wherever we were going to be visited.
Was this the first time you'd been abroad?
Yes. Yes.
What was your first impression of Gibraltar once you had arrived?
Well, it's in two areas. The airfield itself was like a sand spit joining Gibraltar to Spain. And So I reckon in some earlier date that the sea used to break over and wash from the Atlantic into the Mediterranean. It wasn't very high, but by the time I'd got there, the sand had been impacted enough. There's one runway and sand on either side. We were at what was known as the North Front, and this is where the cliff edge, if you look at a picture of the Gibraltar Rock as a whole, it was facing north. So you got the... No, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. That way. And we were, as it were, between Spain.
Yes. And that. Between Spain and...
And there wasn't a great deal of width. Mm-hmm. So you had the rock at the southern side. At the northern side, you had Spain, and it was a wire mesh up to about 10 foot high that was the boundary. But there was the crossing. There was two boundaries. There was the British boundary, about 50 yards, and then you got the Spanish boundary. I had no occasion to go into Spain. Mm. Now, if you go into the town, then you had to more or less walk towards the bay, Gibraltar Bay, and it was like going into a Spanish town. It was beautiful. There was no windows as such. You had slatted opening shutters, and so you could walk along the high street, which isn't very long. I should think it's about a mile long, and you could listen to the programme the whole of the way through without interruption, because there was only the one station that was Gibraltar Transmission. I think it was Tannoy, actually. And either side was mainly drinking places, and the frontages used to open up towards the evening when it was a garrison. It was regarded as English territory, so that it wasn't classified as being overseas. There was no medals awarded for anything like that. It was regarded as home service. But the place was absolutely teeming with all different services. It was men. And of course, the other thing that was teeming was the flies. On the North Front, the fly population was vast, and if you stood still for a moment, you were sweating, they would try and drink or get the salt off your body, and they were a nuisance, and they were quite big and they could bite.
Was there anything you could do about the flies to try and minimise the nuisance?
No, for I should think for getting on for between 6 months to a year, we had to put up with these. They wouldn't trouble you at night, and there was no mosquitoes, so we were cleared from that point. But what did happen was that there was a high incident of tummy troubles. Oh. And I got dysentery while I was there, and I once went to the MO, medical orderly, and that was near the control tower, and I noticed a little notice above the entrance door. It said, "Even though the local lass is willing, is it worth 60 shots of penicillin?" And I can open up on that later if you want. So I was given a number 9 tablet, and what does that do? It sends you to the toilet. So I finished up that I never went again. But it's a dreadful thing, is this dysentery. Yes, they did do something, and they contrived a tray with water in it and a glass dome, and there was a little gap between the tray and the dome, and inside the dome was some jam. watered down jam. Now the flies would go into the bottom there, get into the inside of this dome, and they couldn't get out. They hadn't the common sense to go down. They would try and fly up to the top, and eventually they, you'd see wads of these, and I'm not exaggerating, up to an inch deep, and would take these away each day and recharge the device up, and that cleared them in a very short time. And we were very thankful for that.
And what about the lashes and the penicillin then? What was going on with that?
Well, there was one boat plying between Gibraltar Dock, I don't know which dock, because I never went, and it used to go to La Linea. Oh. It was a definite passenger boat, and it got the nickname as the Passion Boat. Oh. And particularly for the married men, they would get a 24-hour pass and go across to La Linea, excuse me, and there were approved ladies there, so they could satisfy their needs. Yeah. Now, also, of course, you could get cheap wines and spirits, and so they'd probably get plastered as well. Yeah. Now, if they overstayed their 24-hour pass, then they were apprehended and they were sold back to the government at Gibraltar for £100 a time. So there was an obligation for them. And there was a steady stream of people used to go across there.
They were ransomed then?
Sorry?
They were ransomed.
Yes.
Yes. So the lasses then, they were on the Spanish side, not on the Gibraltarian side.
It was on the Spanish side, yes. Yeah.
And one of the things you mention in your narrative is that there were lots of Spaniards who came from Spain into Gibraltar.
Yes.
What sort of work were they doing?
Can I divide this into two groups?
Of course.
You had the people that were Spanish that were called the Gibraltarians.
Yeah.
Now, they were... shall we call a little bit upper class, and you very rarely saw them. Mm. And they lived away from the high street up towards the rock pinnacle, and there was just little roads off, and you couldn't go far, it was very steep. And but I did try and I'll give you a count on a coffee room right there if you want. Now, the Gibraltarians were one group, but then you got the people that came from Spain to work in Gibraltar, and I don't know what duties they performed, but they used to come over when it was light in the morning, and they used to go back about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they used to take the swill away as well. So, they were wizened. You never saw young people at all. They were little. They would be about 4 foot, and so lined, and you could sense that they were not well fed and cared for. So they must be getting some sort of revenue and making it worth their while. Now, I think, and this was hearsay, that there was a little bit of trafficking using the swill wagons, that such things as Swiss watches were coming in to be sold in the jewellery shops. And there's one or two of them, and I did buy a watch there. And in fact, there was one afternoon, late in the afternoon, we packed up, a chappie came along, pulled up his sleeve, and he had a whole row of watches. Would you like to buy one? I did.
Was it a good buy?
Yes, it lasted for a very long time. It was a Swiss watch, and I was able to take it home with me. And it was cheap. So there was a little bit of suspect. Illegal stuff coming into the place.